Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 37, and it's two verses here that I'm going to be reading that I'm going to really look at tonight, just for a few minutes, because we've got a business meeting, and I know that when I said a few minutes, and y'all, I know that y'all just probably laughing or giggling under your breath, I know. But no, I'm hoping to, because I'm not going to, I just got a few thoughts on these two verses right here, and which is a whole, there's a whole lot in this, really this chapter, but I'm going to just deal with the two verses tonight. But it's here in Psalms chapter 37. And it's the psalmist David. He written the word of God, and the Lord used him in a mighty way in writing the book of Psalms. It's a whole lot here that if we will just get into it and just read it and allow God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, I think it'll do us good to look at it and read it. I know it's 150 chapters here, but it's not one really chapter that is really that long of a chapter, in which that's 119. But a whole lot of the other chapters, they're short chapters, and but I think it can help us really. And even that in the book of Proverbs also, we need to look at that also. But tonight we're going to look at Psalms in chapter 37 here, in what the psalmist David is saying and what he's telling the people here. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start up at verse 1, but I'm going to really deal with verse 5 and 6 tonight. But verse 1 in the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who's prosperous in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight thyself in the abundance of peace. We see right here where the psalmist David, he's speaking about the commitment that he had, the commitment that he put before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put before the Father, that he was committed to do what was right. And naturally, he lived among people, and the people that he lived among also, they were type of individuals that would test him, they did test him. They tested him bukus of times. 1, 2, brother.
Can y'all hear that?
All right. Well, not. I'll turn it off. But total commitment to God. That's what David was all about. You know, we know that David, he had some heartaches. He had some troubles. He walked around with the wrong people, the wrong crowd at one time. But then he got by himself, and he cried out to God. And I can imagine what he was saying. That he knew that he had backslid on God, and he had done everything that he could just to get away from God. But see, God knew who he had. God knew David. God knew David's own heart. And David says, "Restore unto me thy salvation." He didn't say, "Restore the salvation unto me, but restore thy salvation." He wanted the salvation of God to be restored within his heart, within his soul, where he could go out here and he could walk like he used to walk at one time. Because he wanted to walk with Almighty God. But, you know, that's just like today. You know, if we do something wrong, or if we walk with the wrong people, and we start doing the wrong things, we're not apt to walk with God. We're not apt to really ask God to touch us in a way that where we can start back walking to Him. The Holy Spirit has to do the work on the individual's heart. And I believe the Holy Spirit here, y'all tell me, well, the Holy Spirit hadn't come on the scene then. Some people say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come on the scene. I beg to differ with anybody. Because there in the first day of creation, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Because we can see that in John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. So we know that God, we know the Holy Ghost, and we know the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was with him all the way from the beginning. But we've got people out here that they disprove all of that. They don't know the scripture. They don't know the Bible. They have not read the Bible. The King James. Just like, you know, I still get kind of tickled about it every time I think about Glenn and what he said the other week. He said the reason that they out here and they got so many Bibles out here, and they don't have the blood in it. Even they're up there singing songs and say it's gospel songs, but you never hear them sing about anything about the blood. You never hear them mention anything at all about the blood. And he says, and they can't. He said, they can't mention the blood. Because their gospel has been watered down so. And how true that is. It's been watered down so it's done away with the blood. And I know what the Bible speaks about, the water, speaks about the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus Christ
is all about the blood. Your salvation is all about the blood. It's all about Calvary. It's all about the cross, that Calvary. And it's all about what he went through for you and me. He went through a whole lot for me. He went through a whole lot for you. But David was committed. David was committed with his life to trust God. He was going to trust God at all costs. Because he knew that if he got away from God once again, he didn't know if he'd ever be able to come back the second time. And there's another man in the Bible too. I mean, it's men after men and women after women, as it's in the Bible, that they love God and they committed their life unto God. But there's no one that I believe that has committed their life wholeheartedly like Paul. Because Paul really, he committed his whole being unto the Lord. He committed his whole life unto God the Father. He committed everything that he had unto him. Why? Because he knew what he had done. He knew that he had persecuted the church. He knew that he had Christians killed. He knew he had young individuals killed and murdered. He knew he had the synagogues torn down and burned down and all of that. He knew that. But then when the light came from down from heaven and it shone right on top of his head there and knocked him straight to the ground. Some people said, well, that's just a figure of imagination. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And I don't think that probably happened. I said, you don't? Was you there? Was you there that day? I said, now, if you was there, let me know. Because I want to see if I can find your name in there. I said, it don't even give the name of the individual that was following Paul that day. And then Paul had the papers. And Paul had a job to do. But Paul did not know and he did not realize when he left that place of business that morning that his job was going to be interrupted during the day. He did not realize that his job was going to end that day. And it did. The job that he held ended that day. And the things that he did not even think about happened. Reality. We have to come down to the reality of life, that it is real. And if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen on my time frame, your time frame, and when you think it is going to happen, or today, or nothing like that, because my mind will not comprehend God's mind. My thoughts will not even comprehend God's thoughts. Why? Because I am still in a sinful flesh. Because the Bible tells me that his thoughts are not my thoughts. But it tells us also over in the New Testament, and I believe it is in Peter there, it says that we must rejuvenate our mind. We must feel God's word within our mind that we can have and we can strive for the mind of Christ. I mean, strive for it. We can't have the mind of Christ. Not yet. But I believe just as soon as we take our feet off of this ground right here, and as soon as we start up in the air, I believe we're going to have the glorified body, and we're going to have the glorified mind, and we're going to have the glorified heart. We will have everything else about us glorified. Why? Because that's what he's about. He deserves it. He deserves everything that we can give him. You know something? He deserves everything. I don't know exactly how much how much money the church has got as a whole, all of it together. I don't know. But you know something? God would not mind it one bit if we just took every bit of it and said we're going to start supporting this missionary. We're going to start supporting them. We're going to take on these people like that don't have no money. They can't even provide for their own family. See, that money is still corrupt. Even though we got it, but when we got it, we don't know what hands it went through. I have no idea whose hand the money went through. With what I get, I don't have no idea who it went through. It could have went, a murderer could have handled the money. I don't know. But once I receive that, once the Lord allows me to receive of what He has got for me, then I'm supposed to turn back, right back around, and I'm supposed to give it back to Him, because He says if we give it back to Him, He's going to give it back to us many folds over. He's going to give it back to us tenfold. He's going to give it back to us 100-fold. He's going to give it back to us each and every day. Oh, we may not see the same thing that we give Him, but I promise you one thing, what we give Him and what He gives us is going to be better than what we gave Him. Why? Because He's no chintzy God. He does not chintz on His people. He does not even allow His people to go without. So everything that I own, everything that I have, I don't own a thing. I don't own nothing. Only thing that I can honestly say that maybe I might own is what I have on my back. And really, I don't really own that. Who God could take out of it. God could snatch that off my back right now if He feels like it. If I brag about it too much, He can snatch it off of me. But we need to be committed to Him for the trust that He has put us in. He is trusting us with His Word. He is trusting us with the King James Bible. He's trusting us with His Word that we will give it out and we will give it to people where we'll touch their hearts. He trusts us to do that. Can we do that? Sure, we can do it. He trusts us to do it. So, yeah, we can do it. Not only that, David was committed. David had a committed life. From the time that he got saved. And now David says in verse 1, says, fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. David had a committed life, saved. He was saved, and he was saved from what? Worry. He was saved from what? Problems. Worry is a sin. And nobody can tell me that they go through a day without sinning. Because God's Word says over in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's not the correct word, but that's what it means. Everybody is going to have to pay a wage. What is your wage going to be? What's my wage going to be? My wage is going to be where I didn't go out here and I didn't speak to someone and I didn't talk to someone about the Lord that the Lord put on my heart. That's the wage that I'm going to receive for that. Why? Because I didn't do what God asked me to do. What's the church's wage? What is the body of Christ's wage right here for all of us together? It's not getting together and do what God's asked us to do. Not just to be pleasing unto self or somebody else or go out here and say, you know, them people like that, you know, every time I turn around, they're out there knocking on doors. They're out there seeing somebody. And I've seen them in the store. They was in there inviting people to church. That's about, I seen the preacher the other day, and he had the nerve to ask somebody in public, were they saved? He had nerve enough to do that. And if I hadn't have done that, there was going to be a wage that I was going to have, that I was going to collect one day. And the wages, see, you collect. You collect off of your, what you've done. What kind of wage are you going to collect? What kind of wage is he going to pass out to you? What kind of wage is he going to pass out to me that day? And with the wages now, am I going to end up with a great big raise in my wages? The way I didn't do hardly anything for it? I'm going to go to him. And he says, Donnie, come on in, thy good and faithful servant. I'd like for my wages when I get there, for him to look at me and says, your wages is a great big goose egg. You don't get the wages that other people out here is getting, like your lost people. See, you've already got the best wage of them all. And that was when you accepted me. Because see, he didn't have to pay a price for me. Did he have to you? Did he say, well, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, says, you know, while I was dragging my body up to the hill, on the hill to Golgotha, I had that cross on my shoulders. And while they were laying me out on the cross, and while they were taking that hammer and putting it in the palm of my hand, and a nail in my feet, and a spear in my side, and then the crown of thorns on my head, and pressed them down where blood dripped from there all the way down to the ground. While I was there, I said, well, you know, I can't pay the price, Father. I just can't pay the price. They ain't done nothing for me. Why should I pay a price for them? Why should I give my life for them? They ain't done nothing for me. They ain't done nothing but abuse me. They ain't done nothing but curse me. They ain't done nothing but pluck my beard out and everything else. They beat me half to death and everything. But here we are, people in the background. They worried They worried about what he will say. And I'm gonna stop with this one little thought tonight. People today, they are worried about coming to church. They don't want to come to church. And I think the reason for that is because they know. They know the people, and they know the churches that are praying for them. And they know the preachers that are preaching the gospel. They know the preachers that's preaching about hell and preaching about heaven, preaching about worry and preaching about love and preaching about this and that and all and everything. They worried about all of that. They know if they come that they worried that the Holy Spirit may actually walk down the aisle and turn to them. Get on the shoulder. And say, son, you know what the preacher said today? You know what other people have said to you in the past? You know each and every one of the people here, and all of them love you to death. But you know something? See, they didn't die for you. But there's one that went all the way to Calvary. And he hung between heaven and earth for your soul. He wants to become, he wants to know you. He's already called you his friend the day that he hung on the cross. Wouldn't you like to be his friend today? And actually, the people, a whole lot of people said, well, you know, there's just some things in my life that I just don't feel like that I need to come right now. There's some things in my life that I need to get straight. There's some things in my life, family-wise, that I need to get straight. I've got some co-workers. There's some things that I need to get straight with them. You know, they don't need to get straight with nothing. They need to allow God to do this straight now. A committed life of trust, worry, envy. I'm going to be honest with you right now, and I'm going to close with this. I promise. But I really don't know what I would. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have him. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have you, the church. I really don't. But I do know this, that he's still my friend. He's my friend, and I'm also his friend. And I hope and pray that not just that, that you can also consider me as a friend. Because I consider each and every one of you my friend. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to help each other. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we just thank you for the message. Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for the commitment that he had to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to have the same commitment unto you also. And, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll be with us as we go into the business meeting, Father. Have your will and way there. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Alrighty.